In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, the Hebrew writer tells us, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Faith is a much discussed and easily and often misunderstood topic. Faith is not blind. You don't take a blind leap when you talk about faith. It's not uneducated. It's not ignorant. And a nominal faith, where they say it's often claimed while living contrary to the truth, doesn't exist. Hebrews 11 defines and explains faith that saves our souls. We notice that in verse 39 of our text, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of our hope and the evidence of things unseen. And then it talks about in verse 6 of chapter 11 that it takes faith to please God. So that's what I want to ask you this morning. Talk about your faith. Does your faith please God? So does your faith perceive the divine design? Does your faith believe that God created everything? We go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." What this means is that faith understands. It is perceptive. To understand means to exercise the mind and to comprehend. So then faith is neither blind nor uneducated. Faith is intellect involved in our decision-making process and our belief. Consider evidence and draw a conclusion to come to faith. Faith understands. Hebrews 3 and verse 4 talks about the design. For there to be the design, there had to be a designer, a first cause, if you will. And by considering the evidence of creation, faith sees the presence and power of deity or a creator. That's what Paul speaks of in Romans 1 and verse 20. So faith not only understands, but it perceives the world that it was framed by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 3, as we just noticed. The world exists from unseen things of God, such as the word of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 33 in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." We drop down to verse 9 of that same psalm, and he says, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So it's not only the word of God, but it's the external power, the fact that it is exercised by his word. Go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1 and begin in chapter 1 and look at verses 3, 6, 9 and the verses following. We see that the world exists from unseen things of God, like his wisdom. Proverbs 8 verses 22 through 31. His deity, the Godhead, the divine nature of God. We cannot reject divine creation as being the origin of the world and still have a faith that pleases God. That's what Hebrews 11 and verse 6 talks about. So let's ask another question. Does your faith act on the promises of God? That's what the Hebrew writer speaks of in chapter 11, beginning in verse 7 through verse 22. He talks about in verse 7 that by faith Noah prepared an ark. Noah prepared this ark because God's words were spoken to him. We see also that Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob trusted in the promises of God. In Genesis chapter 12, God made a promise, made three promises actually to Abraham, of a nation coming from him, of the land promise, and of the seed promise, referring to the Messiah that would come through his line. And then in verses 8 through 22 of Hebrews 11, we see a summary of their faith that acted on what God said. They had a faith that pleased God, a faith that obeys God, Hebrews 11, verses 7 through 9, and then in verse 17. A faith that saves is a faith that will obey. So we need to trust God's faithfulness. For example, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11 and verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, that is God, to be faithful, because he had promised. This faith is sustained by hope. Hebrews 11, verse 10 talks about that he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Beginning in verse 13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 19 talks about God's faithfulness and our hope. Here's another question. Does your faith respect Christ above all else? We go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verses 23. Beginning there, he says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Our faith is not to be turned aside or stopped or deterred by men. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. That's what we see with the actions of the parents of Moses. Faith is not to be directed by our earthly advantages. Moses turned away from those things. That's what we saw in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26. In Acts 7 and verse 22, we're told that we need to act with wisdom and power and not with position and wealth. Faith, we also see from Hebrews 11, here with the account of Moses, is deliberate. Faith makes choices after counting the cost. Moses, it says, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And we notice from verse 6 that he esteemed it to lead before the mind, to suppose, to consider, to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In Matthew 10, Jesus speaks about faith, considering him most important. Now let's talk about our faith. Our faith needs to be one that overcomes tremendous odds, just like we read about in the book of Hebrews. Verses 29 through 38, it talks about that by faith they had victory. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say, the writer goes on, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, because valiant became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God's victories. He mentions the Red Sea and the Jericho and the city of Jericho in verses 33 through 34. We have to talk about our faith. 1 John 4 and verse 5 says that for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What about your faith? Does it give in to the trials of this life? Does it give in to the pressures of society? The victory of faith comes with trials of faith. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 11, verses 35 through 38. There he talks about that women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others, he says, had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, were slain with a sword. And it says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Their faith calls us to a greater faith. The writer goes on in chapter 12 of Hebrews in the first two verses, and he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring back to chapter 11, says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Christ binds together the faithfulness of all ages, Hebrews 11 and verse 40. God having provided something better for us, he says, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Patient endurance brings the reward of faith. The people of faith sought after God, and they found him. And in return, they were found by God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that their faith pleased him. Our faith also must please God. If your faith follows these examples that we have in Hebrews 11, then it pleases him. Luke 18 and verse 8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find you being faithful, keeping the commands of Jesus, keeping the commands of God? Or are you following the teachings of men? You see, Jesus condemned that in Matthew 15, that people were taking the doctrines of men or the commandments of men and making them doctrine. They were putting more importance on what man said than what God said. I want to thank you for being with me today. You may disagree with this lesson. If you'd like to talk to me or comment on this lesson or any other, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this lesson or other lessons, again, you can go back to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. Again, I challenge you that if you have any disagreements, email me and be willing to ask me or talk to me about what we've talked about here. I welcome anything, and if you think that I'm wrong, as I've said in the past, bring your Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse for where you think I'm wrong and you are right. Now, again, I want to thank you for being with me today.